Good evening. There are two topics, obviously, most of all being Purim, but I just wanted to mention a couple of things about the parsha being Tetzava. Usually it would have been Parsha Zohar, but actually that was last week because of the way the calendar fell out. But just to say a couple of things about Tetzava, the first thing that we notice is, of course, the missing name of Moshe here, and that juxtaposes with the fact that in the Megillah, there's no mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is also not mentioned in the Megillah. Moshe is not in Tetzaveh. So it comes out in the same week, which is an interesting thing because certainly we could never forget either one. It sort of highlights the fact that even though we don't mention them, it's obvious from the story that they are being the main focus in the background. And, of course, what we're told right away is the interesting thing is instead of the parasha starting, Tzavis b'nei Yisrael, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemo, Tzavis b'nei Yisrael, v'ilchu elecho, it says, v'yato tetzaveh. And God is commanding Moshe personally to tell Aaron to be the one to light the menorah and give him all the duties of being the Kohen Gadol. And what was the reason that it uses the word v'yato, that God uses that language? And, of course, the interesting thing is that God wanted him to know because Moshe was very upset with Aaron, as we see in the story of the Egel. The story ends with Moshe reading the riot act to Aaron about what he did, helping them build the Egel. In fact, he sees Aaron, so to speak, leading the charge, so to speak, to build the Egel, playing the drums or whatever it is. Leading the whole scenario, and he's very upset with him, and he can't believe that God wants him to do this. He's upset, and God's answer to Moshe is, "You want me to forgive Bnei Israel for the Egel, and yet you can't forgive your brother Aaron for this. So what I'm telling you to do is, I'm not going to appoint Aaron to do it. I won't do it personally, but I want you to do it personally. We are taught that Tzaveh B'nai Yisrael. I want you to understand that he took one for the team. Basically, he knew that if, since they had killed Hur already, the people who were building the Egel, that if they killed Aaron as well, that God would never be able to forgive B'nai Yisrael for building the Egel, and that would cause an immediate destruction of Bnei Israel. So he realized that he was being Moshe Nefesh, and God was saying to Moshe, you only see what you see, and as far as you could tell, Aaron was instigating the whole building of the Egel, but only I know Yodea Machshavos, only I know what's in the mind of people, and Aaron was doing it for the greater good. He was taking one for the team, and that's what he was doing, and therefore I want you to appoint him to understand that he was doing, he did the best that he could under the circumstances. And so that is one of the main parts of the parsha, the way it is, that I wanted you to notice. And then we'll move on to the story of Purim. The story of Purim, of course, is very interesting, and we are told that the Bnei Yisrael, they were punished, and they were seemingly that this caused almost the destruction of the whole Klal Yisrael, because Haman and Achashverosh were attempting to wipe out the entire Klal Yisrael in one fell swoop in one day. And what caused them to be nene from the Sudas Achashverosh? And one of the interesting things pointed out is that Achashverosh seemingly was backing off on the, gave the people, got that impression that Achashverosh making this 6-month party to invite everybody, get everybody on board, and be all things to all people. And la'asos kirtzon ish vo'ish, give everybody, make all the citizens happy. And they thought perhaps if they would show their fealty to Achashverosh, that they accepted him as their king, he might relinquish, he might change the decree to stop building the Beis HaMikdash, which was caused by the Seres B'nai Haman, and Ahasuerus went on board with that to stop the building. But nevertheless, he thought maybe now was a good time, if they would show how much they supported him, that he would change his mind and his attitude would change and let them go back to build. And that was one of the reasons that they were Nenef and Sudas Ahasuerus. They showed up. But the reality is, just for if they ate from a little tarfus, that doesn't get the death penalty for it. But what was the chief factor in causing such terrible things is for the decree to wipe them all out was a very simple thing, really, is that Yerushalayim was the capital of Israel. And B'nai Yisrael were signing on with the whole idea that Shushan HaBira would be the new world capital, giving up hope on Yerushalayim. That was a slap in the face to God. And God says, if you don't still believe that I will be letting you come back and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, as I predicted to the other Nevi'im beforehand, to Yeshaya and Yirmiyah and Yechezkel, and then I'm really very disappointed, and maybe you don't deserve to have it. Now, as we move up, but they saw La'asos Kitzon Ishvo Ish, and they thought that this might do, they could get something out of it. Later on in the Megillah, we see that after Mordechai asked Esther to go before Ahasuerus, and she says, if I go, I will be killed. I can only go when Shaloh Hadassah. I can't go just unannounced. I have to wait for him to call me. And Mordechai says, Umi odea imli esko zos hima higat la malchus. And that's what he's saying over here. We have to think that Esther is now being married. She's married already to Ahasuerus for years, and nothing has come to fruition. And Mordechai is saying, this is a now or never deal, because the truth of the matter is, if nothing comes of this, if we don't strike while the iron is hot, this is an opportunity. Maybe this is the moment that this was all meant to be for. Because the reality was that Mordechai and Esther just let it happen. They could have hidden Esther so that she wouldn't be the queen, but they let this nice Jewish girl, so to speak, married to a shegus like Ahasuerus. How could this do it? The kasher avadati or vadati, she was lost, and they both understood, Mordechai and Esther, that if nothing, this doesn't come to fruition, our plan that we hatched, that she would become queen, or let it happen that she becomes queen, that they would all unfortunately suffer the consequences in the world to come. They would lose their share in the world to come for doing things that were unseemly for that type of a person. And then when she acquiesces and agrees to go ahead and do this, she says a very interesting thing. And it says, V'tzumu olai v'al tochlu v'al tishtu. Very simply speaking, of course, V'tzumu olai, and she says, and fast for me. What else does it mean, al tochlu v'al tishtu? So one Chazal tells us that it means that the other things that you're not allowed to do on a fast day has nothing to do with, the only restrictions that I'm placing upon you is eating and drinking. But shloshis yomim laila v'yom, and the pasuk ends, gam ani v'narosai otzum kein. What does that mean, obviously? You should fast for me and I'll fast for you, because there's two sins that have to be taken care of. If you will fast for me that I will go to Ahasuerus without being summoned, and you will fast for me and that I should survive, then I will fast for you, because the problem is that you need absolution also for your sins of being Nene from Sudas Ahasuerus, and all the attitudes that you had that brought about this situation. So it's a quid pro quo. If you will do for me, I will do for you. Now, the interesting thing is, which is really the focal point of the whole Haggadah, is one thing that we tend to lose sight of. It says, V'ratzui l'rov echov, Mordechai ha-Yehudi mishneh l'melech Ahasuerus. He was the second in command now. He took over Haman's position, and now he becomes this great person and he's beloved by so many people. Is v'ratzui l'rov v'chav. What does that mean, v'ratzui l'rov v'chav? His popularity was somewhere between maybe 50 and 60%. You would think perhaps that he would be overwhelming majority, if not almost all of people, the difference, like you see with the differences when Moshe dies and it says v'yivku beis Yisrael, and when Aaron dies it says kol beis Yisrael, because it was a different attitude towards Moshe and to Aaron. Aaron, everybody loved. He was everybody's best friend. Moshe was too much of a ruler and made enemies along the way as well. And so now Mordechai was blamed for the fact that they felt that he caused this divisiveness in to Haman by not bowing down to him. They felt if you hadn't worn your religion on your sleeve that way by not bowing down to Haman, perhaps none of this ever would have happened, and we wouldn't have needed this miracle to change everything. So they still blamed him for the whole Maisa. So it says, V'ratzui l'rov v'chav. The end of the Megillah is a very telling statement also, how just like God was telling Moshe to forgive Aaron, Mordechai understands. And he makes a very interesting statement, which seems to be a double language, but yet it's not if you look at it more carefully. The last line in the Megillah is, Doresh tov li'amo, v'dover shalom l'chol zaro. What's the difference between those two parts of the statement? Doresh tov li'amo, he had many supporters who were Shomer Torah and Mitzvot and understood that as the leader of the nation, he couldn't bow down to Haman. He couldn't bring himself to do it. He knows that everybody is watching him. He is a role model for all those concerned, and therefore he would never bow down. And that would bring up the feeling of people. It's a Kiddush Hashem, which many of the Jews did not understand. But nevertheless, what about the other people who are in the anti-Mordechai camp? The Dover Shalom, L'chol Zaro. In other words, what's the difference between Amo and Zaro? Amo are his people, his supporters. Zaro means fellow Jews, people who are the seed of Bnei Yisrael. They're just Jews. They weren't on his side. But V'dover Shalom L'chol Zaro. He wished them all well. He wished them all shalom and a peaceful existence, regardless of the fact that they weren't his supporters. He felt that they should be, you know, v'dover shalom. He wished them all very well. And that is a lesson for, of course, in this day and age, and we see what goes on in the country, which is a very difficult concept. And we see that, imagine somebody who has people who are anti, but nevertheless, he wishes them all well. And he has nothing against them because he understands what drove them. It's just that he hopes that they realize finally at this point in time that he was right, Mordechai, and that they weren't. And nevertheless, that God had to intercede, that it was only because of his actions that this was what saved them in the first place. By not bowing down to Haman and causing the scenario to arise, it would have arisen because of they were Nenef and the Sudas Achashverosh and various other sins that they were given. But people are usually a little slow to realize that it's they are to blame for their own actions. And therefore, we have to be more aware of what goes on. And that's why what we have, one of the halachas of Purim is Matanos Levyonim and also Mishloach Manos Ishlareyehu. To your neighbors, get to know them. Not everybody necessarily is your best friend or you have to play up to certain people. But the reality is that you have to make good with your fellow Jew. All Jews, we're all in it in the same boat. We're all one nation, we're MOTs, member of the tribe, and we have to look upon each one another as people of, we have the same people, whether we're liberal, whether we're conservative, whether we're whatever we are, Democrats, Republicans, doesn't make a difference. If we are Jews, Mordechai's attitude was V'dover Shalom L'chol Zaro. And that is the lesson that Mordechai left for the end of the Megillah to teach us to be that way. There'll be more to discuss next week about the Mishkan, of course. And the interesting part is there was one thing just to explain. When we get to the sixth parak and it says, "Balaylo hahu nadado shinas hamelech," is that talking about Achashverosh, or as many Mepharshim deal with it and say that we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that not to say that he woke up from his slumber. Obviously, we're talking about Achashverosh. In this context, the simple translation would be that what happened over here, that when he realizes the Sefer HaZichronos, that Mordechai, he hasn't done well by him, that he uncovered this plot to assassinate him, and Mordechai uncovered it. But the timing is so unbelievable, because who is lurking in the shadows? And when we read it with the Trump, Ve'Haman Bo, and the Haman comes suddenly, the Haman is lurking outside the palace, and it's late at night. And Achashverosh's first reaction is there another assassination plot afoot? Is there something else about to go on? And Haman enters, and he starts to have second thoughts about the relationship with Haman, because Haman, he's made him so great that he's beginning to wonder if Haman has designs on the Malchus, designs on the kingship himself, and the fact that Esther invited him to a private party, was somehow Haman in league with Esther and vice versa. He began to have doubts. Timing is everything. Balayla ahu nadado shinas hamelech. He got up, and he was, when we are stirred in the middle of a deep sleep, and we having these thoughts, and we're reading from the Sefer HaZichronos all about the plots to assassinate, that's what you're thinking about. And thank you very much. And this brings a close, and I hope everybody has a good fast, a meaningful fast. And of course, the fast of Tainis Esther has nothing to do with the fast for Tzumu Alai, because those days were we're not sure exactly which 3 days, but of course, one of the nights certainly was the Seder night on Pesach, and that's the night that we really would commemorate the fasting, and that's why we read it. Of course, the collateral damage, we think of Purim as such a happy story, but the collateral damage is the assassination of Daniel Ish Chamudos, and we'll discuss that at a later date. Thank you. Have a good evening.